This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. It is the top of the hour, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is a gorgeous summer day out there, and it is Wednesday. And I believe that it's supposed to be beautiful, I think, the rest of the week and weekend. Did you hear that?
Yes. There's still a slight chance of showers today. There's still enough instability in the air. But for the most part, it's probably 90% of us will not see any of that. And you're right. The humidity goes down, and the weather should be good through the weekend.
Yeah, I think so. So that's awesome. And it comes to the time of the week when we talk to one of our favorite segments, Donna's Delights down in Delaware. And if you haven't already, we'd love for you to, I know she would love for you to like her Facebook page, and that's Donna's Delights, D-E-E-L-I-T-E-S. And welcome, Donna, to Food for Thought.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing today?
We are How's fabulous, girlfriend.
How's life been treating you?
Very, very well. Very well. It's been wonderful.
How about you? It looks like you went to some kind of an event over the weekend. I don't know if it was a wedding.
Wedding.
I had weddings, you know, all these weddings. I had a wedding. I had a family reunion. But the wedding was very, very beautiful. I helped one of my daughter's friends. She got married, and she wanted me to help her. So I helped with the wedding. You know how chaotic weddings can be and how, you know, the bride is all jittery and all that good stuff. But I helped her out with the wedding. They're finally hitched, and everything went according to plan.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, you looked beautiful, as usual.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know I got that whole outfit from the Salvation Army. You know that, right?
You did?
She shops at the Salvation Army every week. After the show, that's where she goes.
Well, there are some really great consignment stores up here. I mean, Salvation Army has a really a good purpose and a good mission, a good cause. But we've Barbara and I have been places where we've just popped in, and she's gotten, you know, like Kate Spade purses and big name dresses and stuff for like $10.
Yeah, you get. When I go and I'm a label whore, I look at the label, the quality of the clothes. Yeah, if you're going to buy it secondhand, you might as well buy good.
Well, you always look very well put together. I must say that.
Well, thank you. I try. It's a gorgeous day outside. The bird, I saw me a red robin, and so I'm good to go, you know.
Good.
So, you want me to get in the recipe of the week?
I'm dying to hear it.
Are you dying? Well,
I am
dying to tell you, okay? It goes along with, you know, August weddings, everybody get married. So it goes along with that. So here we go.
Cool.
All right. Well, we're going to the chapel, and we're going to get married. There's nothing like summer love and seeing it in full bloom. You can hear the wedding bells ring, smell the fresh flowers, fill the air with love, and two people become one underneath the arch. How sweet it is to see young love and Indian summer, a.k.a. 40++, holding hands and making plans with happiness, joy, and a bright, sweet, sugary future until he leaves the toilet seat up and you fall in the midnight with no moonlight in sight. Or those beautiful bundles of joy, a.k.a. Rosemary's babies, baby kids, come knocking on the door while you trying to get some of that fine wine. Now that sits and turns into vinegar by the time they go their little butts to bed. Car payments, nosy in-laws, and a dog named Bart that seems not to grasp doing his business outside instead of inside. Yes, love and marriage go together like a tow truck and carriage. Weddings can bring out the sweet, soft, warm feelings inside, but marriage can make you want to take a drink. I'm in love with being in love. You know, when you come up with cute little nicknames for your boo, like Sweetie, Sugar Bear, but let sugar get on your last nerve. And the first thing that comes flying out your mouth is, you ain't Jack, L-O-M-N-O-P, X-Y-Z. Well, the recipe of the week has both that love thing and you make me want to take some Jack, straight no chaser. The recipe of the week is called, Get Sweet, But You Ain't Jack. sweet potato biscuits. Now, here's what you'll need for those nuptials. Flour and sweet potato to go in a symphony of love. You'll need a quarter cup of Crisco shortening, buttered flavor, chilled. 2 cups of Presto cake flour. It already has the salt and leavening agents in it. And also you'll need a half a teaspoon of baking soda, 2 tablespoons of powdered sugar, a half a teaspoon of cinnamon, a half a teaspoon of nutmeg, 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract, and you'll need 3/4 cups of sweet potato puree, chilled. Now, if you do not want to cook a whole sweet potato like I did, go get you some jars of baby food. Make life easy on yourself, especially if you got little ankle biters or one big ankle biter, a.k.a. my husband. Our nest is empty and cleaned out. Now, don't hate, because one day you newlyweders will get there, because they was in their 20s, so they'll get there. You'll need a 1/4 cup of buttermilk. I substituted with half and half and 1 tablespoon of vinegar for the real thing, like some of you are doing right now in your love life. Anyway, just like you blend two families to make one, you are going to make that dough like this. You're going to sift your flour, baking soda, sugar, cinnamon, and nutmeg together in a large bowl. With a pastry cutter, you're going to cut that shortening in. And if you don't have a pastry cutter, use your hands. I cut mine in with clean hands. In a small bowl, whisk together that sweet potato, milk, vanilla together. Stir quickly into your flour mixture until it's combined. Don't overmix it. Now you're going to turn that dough over onto a floured surface, and you're going to knead gently, like you do a virgin on her honeymoon. Gently. Knead it 5 to 6 times until that dough, and then you're going to roll that dough out into 1-inch thickness, and then you're going to cut your biscuits out. I use the glass, but if you got a biscuit cutter, go on and use it with your best self. Now, you're going to place those biscuits tight in a greased pan, and you're going to bake those sweeties in a preheated oven at 425 degrees. You're going to bake it on the lowest baking shelf rack until they are brown for about 20 minutes. But you're going to rotate those biscuits 10 minutes into their baking time. Now, while those biscuits in the oven, go ahead and make that Jack Daniel's butter. Just like marriage, these biscuits call for some strong love. Wine might be fine, but liquor's quicker. You'll need 1/4 cup of brown sugar and 3 tablespoons of Jack Daniel's. If you can use more, but my husband don't drive me to drink, so I only bought enough Jack to make that butter. King, heat that Jack and sugar on the stove and mix it well until it's bubbling and all the alcohol is burned off. You're going to pour that over a half a stick of butter, and you're going to mix it well. Pop it into the fridge. Now, that Jack butter can be made ahead, so when those biscuits are ready, they're ready to serve. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us toast to the bride and groom. May your love be sweet and your good outweigh the bad, and you'll never go to bed mad. Just ask God to fix it with a batch of sweet potato biscuits. And if you still can't get it back on track, then go ahead and turn up that bottle of Jack. Cheers, King.
Hey, can I call you my radio boo?
Yeah, you can call me we booze, baby. You hear me?
Oh, my.
Wait, you're going to need me just like a virgin, right?
Well, what's wrong with this picture? Well, put Teddy on the phone.
I'm talking about my dough.
Yeah. How is your dough today? Does it need kneading?
Yeah, it needs a little kneading, but only 4 or 5 times.
And don't forget, you got to let it rise.
You got to let it rise. It all got to rise.
That's it.
Well, okay, I'm going to change the subject, and I think that those sweet potato biscuits sound really, really good.
Oh, and that butter, too.
Jack Daniel's butter? Ooh, yum.
I made them Sunday because Teddy wanted some fried chicken.
It must look, have a real nice sort of yellowish to orange color, I would guess.
Yeah, Yeah, it looks like a little Oompa Loompa. Yeah.
Oompa.
Oompa.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
or one of those newscasters who are real orange. You ever see them people on TV?
With the spray on tan or the fake tan, the whole deal.
Don't nobody tell you that ain't cute. But anyway.
Like Speaker of the House John Boehner, he always looked kind of orange to me.
It looks scary. You know, look like it's like the skin's ready to fall right off of you. They need some Jack. No, they need some Jack butter. All we need to do is grease them up with some Jack butter, and they'd be straight.
Boy, that sounds really good, Carol, doesn't it? That Jack butter with brown sugar, butter, and some Jack Daniels.
It was good, y'all. It was so good. Teddy ate all the biscuits because he's greedy.
Do you let him lick the beaters after you've been mixing something?
No, he ain't licking nothing in here. No, not in my kitchen.
Oh, come on now.
No, my kitchen's got to be sterile. Don't play with me. You hear me? No, things don't go on in my kitchen that ain't right.
Oh, boy. Come on, Donna.
Why is he so ornery? Why is he so bad today?
They only have 49 shades of gray.
you 50 shades of not right. You not right today.
Well, I suppose pretty much wraps it up, doesn't it,
That
Carol?
Wraps it up. Remember, like you're going to go to weddings. Enjoy your weddings. Because we're in those months where everybody's getting married. But my tip is to the bride and groom, yes, you get the wedding, but the marriage is what really is really going to make it all right. And sometimes you're going to need some Jack.
Oh, gosh. We love you.
Have a great week,
Donna. We
love you.
I love y'all, too. Remember, life is for living and food is for giving. And sometimes your man ain't Jack, so get you some Jack Daniels. Kids, Don's out of here.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Donna. Oh my! Oh,
what did we learn? What did we learn today?
I don't know.
I think that when you listen to Donna, you need extra shots of Jack.
You got to keep your kitchen sterile.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. She won't even let Teddy lick the beaters.
No licking. No nothing.
Don't you? I mean, didn't you let your kids lick the beaters when you would bake?
Of course. Are you kidding? That was like the best thing to do.
It was. I feel he is so deprived.
Oh my goodness.
All right, we need to sit her down and talk to her about this next time we see her.
Next time
she comes up, and she'll stay with you for 2 months instead.
Okay. You are listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a break. And when we come back, we are going to be joined with Executive Chef Matt Preventure of the new restaurant, The Foundry.
Cool.
And stay tuned and we can hear more details. I got a complete tour yesterday. And just stay tuned and listen because it is really amazing. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Happy land right now. You're listening to Back Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Wednesday, and we are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And our studio, I mean, look at us ding-a-lings, had chips out on the counter.
Well, we did. We had the Frito-Lay new chip flavors that people are voting on, and we're going to have Chef Matt Preventure and your dad, George Lawrence, help try to pick out what the best one was. But now that we have some samples of the new Foundry restaurant, we may have to make that another day.
I think so.
Yeah.
We have all our little plates made.
Thank you for saving us, Chef.
And you know, it was funny because we put them out at the top of the hour and all of the flavors were like meshing in here. We're like, ooh, I don't know.
You could probably smell the various spices and herbs. Yeah.
But we are joined with Executive Chef Matt Preventure, who is in charge of the kitchen at the new Foundry.
Yep.
And it's located at 50 Commercial Street, right here in Manchester.
Just say Jillian's and people will know, right?
That's where Jillian's used to be.
You got to say it that way. Nobody remembers the name of the second place.
No.
Everybody knows Jillian's.
World Sports Grill, I think, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah. And you know why I only remember that? Because when we parked yesterday, we were parked near the old sign that was on
the ground.
On the ground.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the only reason why I remember, really.
Are you going to be dining out on the deck? Will that be used at all?
Yeah, the deck is open. It seats about 95 people, about that. It's got a couple fire towers, two fire pits with like a table around them. And so, we have it's the largest deck in town.
Is it?
At least it's right on the river.
It is. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. And parking
is so beautiful.
Parking is better than it used to be. If you haven't been to that spot for, say, 5 years,
yeah,
there's a bit of a parking structure, and I think that really manages the car traffic a lot better.
Yeah, yeah, it does. You know, it's nice to have parking and still be downtown, because that's always been one of those battles.
So you catch a dinner at the Foundry, and then you hoof it down for a baseball game, Fisher Cats,
or go up to the Verizon.
Monarchs.
Or,
mm-hmm. So. Well, that's got to be the best piece of real estate in town. That was a good move.
Yeah.
Well, I got the grand tour yesterday, and all I can say is, listeners, you know, you're not sure when you're going to open, maybe possibly next week.
It'll be next week. You know, I got to say, as cheesy as this sounds, watch Facebook.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. It's going to be some point next week. We're not quite sure on the day yet, but next week.
And that's okay.
Soft opening, basically, right?
Yeah,
or will there
be
an official big rollout at some point?
We probably will at some point. Mm-hmm. But you know,
when you
right
feel
now,
you're ready, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I walked in, and I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. It is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Kind of industrious.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a lot of cast iron, a lot of steel. A lot of wood,
a lot of wood.
Of reused
beautiful.
Wood, and so it's beautiful to see from what it was to what it is mm-hmm. now is just phenomenal.
It doesn't even look like the same place. I mean,
oh, really?
When I was in there, I'm thinking of what it used to be, and you can't even.
I never thought it was laid out all that well for what they were doing with it. It seemed really to minimize the dining area.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I'm sure you basically started from square one, right?
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, the bar's still in the same area.
Okay. Beautiful.
The bar seats about 30. We have a custom-built tap system. It has 20 beers on tap, 18 of which are local. And then, you know, into the dining room, we actually put a raised platform in the middle of the dining room. So there's tables along all the windows and then a raised platform so you can see over the people and still see the river.
Oh, very
gorgeous.
Nice.
Just gorgeous. It really, really is.
Sounds like you stayed true to the Mill Yard theme and feel.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's called Foundry, so was not a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah. That was what you know what was wanted. They wanted to mm-hmm. keep that industrial that Foundry.
How many other names were there as you considered what it would be?
From what I heard, there was one other name. The owner Dean came and mm-hmm. wanted to. I originally thought about putting like Dean's Foundry, but it just didn't have that ring. So I guess they went with the Foundry.
Uh-huh.
So, I like it. Yeah. I really
so
like it.
So Segway got ruled out right away. I guess. You don't have the servers on Segways, do you?
No,
okay,
no.
Okay, just checking.
No.
And I am eating right now. Matt brought in. Why don't you let
go ahead.
Know
tell
what,
us what you brought, Chef.
So we brought in a whole spread. We're making our own bread. So we brought in bread and butter. The butter's from Brookford Farms. We whip a little bit of local honey into it, so just get that little bit of sweetness to it.
That mm-hmm. is the first thing that I grabbed was bread and butter because mm-hmm. that's like my thing.
Yeah.
I never eat bread and butter. I never eat bread and butter. I couldn't resist.
You
homemade
make that
bread
on premise, right?
Yeah,
the bread.
Oh yeah, we make the bread on premise.
I saw her baking it. I saw her baking yesterday.
Yeah.
This butter is so good.
Yeah.
It's not even funny. You get that little subtle like sweetness from
mm-hmm.
the honey in there,
mm-hmm.
and it is oh my gosh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It is very, very good. So what else did you bring?
We brought our pork ribs, our 18-hour pork ribs.
18 hours?
Yeah, we get baby back ribs.
Wow.
We season them and rub them, let them sit overnight. Then we smoke them for 2 to 3 hours, and then we cook them sous vide for 18 hours.
What temperature about?
165 degrees.
Low and slow, right?
Night, low and slow.
Mm-hmm.
So if people don't know what sous vide is, we actually vacuum pack them, and we cook them in a water bath that's held at 165 for those 18 hours. So, you know, and they come out really tender, but they still have like a little bit of tooth to them. So it's kind of nice. You get the best of both worlds. And then we glaze them with a homemade barbecue sauce.
Mm.
So
how many, like the barbecue sauce, yours, a composite of other people you're working with, how much of this has your thumbprint on it?
A lot of it does.
Because people know you. I mean,
they
know where you've
mm-hmm.
been, and they like the places you've worked at.
Yeah, a lot of it does. You know, I like the idea of, when I first took the job, I was actually talking to my mom, and I go, you know what, it feels kind of good to come home, you know, because I'm from Manchester, so it was nice to say we, you know, to come back, and a lot of it has my thumbprint, but a lot of it is, you know, I came up with the menu, and then we sat down with the cooks, and we
mm-hmm.
wrote the recipes, or we adjusted the recipes, if something didn't make sense, let's fix it, let's, you know, keep the kitchen involved so they can still keep thinking.
All right, so Carol's looking at the menu now. If you were to run into somebody in an elevator, you had about 20 seconds to describe the feel of the menu. What would your description be?
It's friendship based.
Okay.
You know, I joke, I'm French-Canadian. Mm-hmm. My family is...
With a name like Provencher, you're kidding.
I know.
Provencher. Do you know my grandmother was married to a Provencher?
Yeah, my family is monstrous. Like it's...
We're probably related somewhere. Isn't that funny? Eddie Provencher.
Really?
Was my grandfather. That is so funny. Yeah. We'll have to find that out. But anyway.
So you got a little bit of... So I kind of wondered if there'd be kind of a bit of a French tone to it.
French-influenced and local. You know, we're dealing with 30...
Let's talk about 30, that a little bit.
35 farms, everything from butter, cheese, dairy. Our ribeyes are local. Our burgers are local. You know, I've met almost every one of the farmers we're working with. You know, in the process of opening this restaurant every Saturday and Sunday, me and the family would get in the car and, okay, we're going to this farm. We're going here. We're going there. And for me, I want to meet the guys I'm working with. For my wife, she wanted to see that the animals were being treated properly. That, you know, she wanted to have that happy feeling about who we're working with, which is, you know, it's important. It's nice to see that.
So with a large number of restaurants that are dealing, as you are, at the Foundry with local farms and producers of food, have they, the farmers, especially the livestock, have they had to increase their output because so many other people like you are using their products?
Some of them are. We actually, one of the farms we're dealing with, Roby Farms, when I first started dealing with them, they were strictly cheese. And they had the mindset of thinking, hey, why don't we see what else we can do? And they actually started going to other farms and saying, okay, if you don't mind us selling your beef under our name, we'll broker it. And a lot of these cattle farmers or whoever, they didn't have the time to say to go to this restaurant. Mm-hmm. So they thought, this is perfect. You know, so we'll sell you our cow. You do what you need to do to it, and then you sell it to the restaurant. And they're doing it so that the farmer makes a good wage, the restaurant pays a good price. You know, it's kind of a win-win for everybody.
It is.
You know, so it's that's been kind of nice to see that they were smart enough to do that. And then another farm we're dealing with, Three Rivers Farmers Alliance, they're based more on the seacoast. They did the same thing. It was three farms. They banded together and said, hey, why are we all delivering to the same restaurant on the same day? Between the three of us, why don't we just band together and it's one delivery? You order everything online. You know, it's phenomenal.
Hmm.
So.
And what about seafood? How will you be dealing with that?
Seafood, we're using two different companies. Mm-hmm. We're using Sanders Fish, which is based in Portsmouth.
Okay.
And then Ipswich Shellfish, which is based in Mass. Mm-hmm. Sanders is a little local guy, and I was using him when I was cooking out in Portsmouth. He actually deals with some of the local boats. So I joke when I call an order from him, I'll say, hey, bring me 5 pounds of something local. And I know that it's coming from these four boats, and it's whatever they have. And he'll show up with it, and it's, you know, it's phenomenal stuff.
All right, so we a lot of people drive to Portsmouth to enjoy fine dining. Of course, the whole town's got a great vibe to it.
It does.
Are we to the point where people from Portsmouth are going to be driving to Manchester for food?
I don't know. You know, it's one of the things that was amazing to me when I was working out there was – There was no back and forth. Like when I said, oh, I live in Manchester and I cook in Portsmouth, people are like, you drive that far? And, well, it's 45 minutes. You know, I used to joke the ride there was 45 minutes of getting all my phone calls done, getting all that stuff done. And the ride home at night was the most peaceful 45 minutes of my day because it was quiet. You know, but nobody ever thinks of driving there or driving this way. So, you know, it might be kind of nice that, you know, I know we're doing friends and family this weekend. I actually have some customers coming from Portsmouth to come check the place out. So
nice.
It might be nice to bring that pull a little bit this way and, you know, maybe push some people from here that way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. So this is Executive Chef Matt Provencher, who will be running the show at the Foundry, which opens up sometime next week. So you have been... People know the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew the name when Carol mentioned that it was you. So tell us some of the places you've been since you left Manchester.
When I left Manchester, I went to go work at Martingale Wharf out in Portsmouth. It's a 300-seat restaurant right on the decks, right on the water. I helped open it. You know, it was fun, but I missed being home. And while I was there, I helped reopen the Rosa, which is, you know, grandma Italian. It's spaghetti and meatballs and lasagna. And so it was fun. But, you know, I missed being here, you know, and kind of giving back to the community that I grew up in. So, you know.
Well, let's welcome my father on. Dad, you're on. And
Hello. How are you?
Out of all of the food that Matt brought, I gave you what I know you like. Is that crazy?
I
gave him some bread and butter.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Bread and butter. I said,
I'm like, Dad, you got to have this. It's so good.
Very nice. Yeah, very, what are those? Just the ribs?
Yeah, ribs. Ribs.
Oh, that's what, yeah, look like that. Cut.
Well, Dad, grab a plate. And grab some
whatever sugar. You don't need, I'm taking home, big guy.
Looks good. Looks good. Very good. But, you know, I was just listening in, and I think a big part of your business, and I know you already thought of it, is the highway.
Yeah, yeah.
I guarantee you it's going to be 60-40.
Yeah, we actually, our sign went up Monday, and you can actually, we did it so instead of being on the building on the sides, it's actually up on the roof.
Oh, my God.
So you can see it from the highway.
Wow.
So
I am telling you, think of it.
Yeah.
To be seen from the highway.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, we're lucky to be on exit 5 on it, but they don't really see us. But they know, you know, we know we're there.
You
can
buy some signage, can't you, though, from Adopt a Highway or whatever?
But you know,
it's in the process.
It's in the process.
Our sign on the highway.
The only problem with that, Carol, we're only on the ramp when you get off. Something about the interstate, they don't let you get down the road.
But I still think you've got as
good a spot as Matt does. I'm just saying that. But no, he has it all.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The same highway is going by.
Yeah.
And, oh, you know, we can't do it today. But we're going to hit this in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's one that kind of thing. I think it's going to be unbelievable.
Definitely. And this menu is, I think it's a great menu. I mean, you have lots of choices. You have lots of appetizer choices, which I'm sure can also be like small plates.
Yeah.
Daryl and I love a charcuterie plate.
Yeah.
We love charcuterie very much. And I mean, there's all different choices. There's sandwiches, flatbread, salads, you know, my favorite on the menu, Matt knows. What is my favorite?
Foie gras.
Is it really?
Ooh,
I didn't know you like foie gras.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, my gosh. And he makes the best foie gras. I mean, the best.
Yeah.
It's just the best. Oh, you know who says hi is Sean McGarvey.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, he texted me during and said he heard us say that you were going to be coming
on. Oh, did he really?
So he said to say hi to
Nice.
Say hi to you.
All right, so I know that you said there's a bit of a French feel to it.
Yeah.
I'm sure not overly so. Any poutine?
Yes.
Aha!
Yes.
Okay. You passed the test.
I didn't see that.
See that?
Where?
It's on the bar menu.
Oh, you even have a bar menu. See, that's so smart.
That's very smart.
You know, I think that is so smart.
And the bar menu, you know, it's $5 and $10. You know,
$5, that's fantastic.
Little bite-sized things.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing
sliders,
dates with blue cheese and bacon, homemade pretzels. That's what. Literally,
you know, that is like in
the past 2 days. All I've been eating is bread and butter and pretzels. it's been phenomenal.
Well, you got two major food groups covered there.
Oh, baked stuff.
Oh, look at this truffle fries. We were just talking about how Z used to make truffle fries and how I miss that. And that is, so what are the herbs? Is it a rosemary or?
We do a mix. We call it savory herbs.
Okay.
It's thyme, parsley, chives, a little bit of tarragon, and a little bit of basil.
Wow.
So, and it's kind of like the all-around mix.
Sure.
You know, so with like the truffle fries, we fry them, take them out in a bowl with a little bit of butter.
Yeah.
Herbs, truffle salt, truffle peelings. We give them a little flip and then off they go.
So. That's and I like the prices too.
Prices are
graduating prices, I guess, probably depending on the whatever you're getting.
Yeah.
The Foundry Burger, bib lettuce, sharp cheddar and bacon, tomato relish, Parker House roll.
Yeah.
And they make it in house.
Yeah. So yeah, the goal was, you know, to make as much as we can in house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know at some point we're gonna have to buy something. You know, but we're gonna try the best that we can to make everything that we can.
You are going to be a scratch house?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So.
Ooh. Okay.
How about a good steak? I haven't seen the whole menu. Can I get
there
we go.
Big order.
For steaks, we're doing a tenderloin, a ribeye. The ribeye is actually local. It's from PT Farms up in North Haverhill.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bavette steak, which is almost like flat meat, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got that same texture as a flank or a flap or something like that.
Right.
Okay. You know, I love a steak you have to chew on. Like, I'm not a tenderloin guy. I want a ribeye or a bavette or a hanger steak.
You want a steak knife that needs to cut.
Cowboy steak.
Love cowboy steaks.
Something like that. Like, you know, I want something that's a little tougher you know, so.
Well, I'm that way, too. A sirloin, a nice sirloin is a lot better tasting than a filet, but the filet is tender.
Yeah. So, you know, so we put the filet on. It's kind of a last minute, you know. And
you have to.
We kind of put, we were actually joking around. We put it on, the GM looks at me and goes, you know, we kind of need like a chick steak.
what is the price of the tenderloin?
I want to say it's
just curious.
Here's the steak page. There you go. 35.
35.
And what size is that?
It's an 8-ounce tenderloin. It's,
excellent.
You know, black Angus, nice filet.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Get a potato
you
cake.
Will have.
Cream
kale. You will have the chicks.
Yeah.
Chocolate port demi-glaze.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now you got chocolate. Now you got my attention. What's in this dessert, Chef, that you brought along? Nobody's dug into that yet.
Well, okay, so we're going
it
to.
It looks like giant nacho chips or something with some whipped cream.
So we did a dessert nachos.
A compote of some sort?
Yeah, it's cinnamon sugar nachos.
Ooh, smell
with
that.
Whipped cream, like a berry compote, and then dulce de leche.
Okay.
So it's like a, like a Spanish caramel.
You want to... Do you want to start it and pass
it
around?
Go ahead.
No?
All right, go ahead. You know, we need to go on a break, so
George,
we'll pass this around. We're going to go on a break. You're listening to the Food for Thought, the Pulse 107.7. We are in studio with Executive Chef Matt Preventure of the brand new Foundry over on 50 Commercial Street, the old Jillian's, I guess we can say, right? And I mean, their deck is gorgeous, and they're going to be opening up brand new sometime next week. So check out their Facebook page. Go and like them on Facebook, and. When we come back, we're going to talk to Matt about the wine room.
Yes.
That was beautiful.
You are, because I'm eating.
There we go. We didn't talk about that. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and our studio is packed with delicious food from the brand new Foundry, and we are in studio with Executive Chef Matt Preventure, who you're from here, and then you went away for a little bit.
Yep.
Before we talk about the wine room, let's just talk about a little bit. How did you start to cook? Like, when did you know that you wanted to be what you are right now, Executive Chef?
Say I started, you know, at home when I was like 14, 15. You know, I want to say I got my first, like, kind of cookbooks about that time, you know, and just started playing around. And then I was a little older than 15 when I started at Tinker's Seafood.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Hooksett Road, right?
No, I started at the old
one. Oh, the old one.
The one over by Belmont Hall.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Near Elliott.
So I was there for a while, and then when he moved, I went with him, and I was probably there for about a year and a half, and then I went to the Bedford Village Inn and spent 2 years there before I went off to college. And, you know, I originally wanted to be a baker.
Really?
And I was, you know, I was going to vocational school here in Manchester, learning how to bake and do all of this stuff. And one day when I was at the Bedford Village Inn, the chef came down and said, hey, you know, our salad cook didn't show up. Can you help out? And I was like, yeah, sure, but I don't, like, this isn't what I want to do. Like, I want to do this, the baking. And he said, just for tonight, please. I said, okay. So I did one night with him, and then I came the next day. I said, okay. I go, I don't want to be down here in the pastry shop anymore. I want to be up on the line.
That's
and he
cool.
And he looks at me and goes, why? I go, the adrenaline rush and the whole thing, like the controlled chaos. And it just went from there. You know, I went out to New England Culinary. It's a, you know, two-year program. You do 6 months of school, 6 months of internship, 6 months of school, 6 months of internship, and then, you know, off you go. So I did my first internship on Nantucket at the Chanticleer Inn, and then my second one at Radius down in Boston. And I ended up staying on there for about a year. And then I got a call from the actual chef that I was working for at the Bedford Village Inn at the time. He said, I'm opening a restaurant. Do you want to come back up and be my sous chef? And we opened Baldwin's on Elm.
Yeah.
So, and it just, you know, just kind of went
from
there. We were
just talking, mentioning his name, because he's going to be on a radio show to Brian
Trumbull.
Yeah.
And you know what he said. Go ahead.
He said he remembered you when you were younger.
Oh, yeah.
And he said you used to come over and borrow his tools to fix your bike.
Yes.
So he said, I really thought that you were going to grow up and be a mechanic.
Yeah.
He says, you have to be kidding me.
Yeah.
The little guy.
So, yeah, I grew up across the street from them. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he says, oh, he was a mechanic. He's good.
So.
Look at this. Look at the array of food. Yeah. I guess here.
I mean, the food is just fantastic.
It's a wonderful sampling, including the honey infused butter.
Crazy.
Local.
It just makes light your eyes up.
Yeah.
It's just like a touch in there. Yeah. You know, it's subtle, but yet it's oh my gosh.
I didn't get when it's open or
next week sometime.
Okay.
Check their Facebook page.
I think you're going to be very busy.
I hope so. So.
I've been telling a few people. They're so everybody's happy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's another new. We haven't had a new one for a little while.
Well, remember a few months ago, everybody started buzzing. Oh, did you hear?
Yeah.
You know, it's so-and-so in the restaurant, and it's going to be where Jillian's used to be. And, I mean, that was the big buzz, as you know.
Yeah.
You can't beat some good buzz.
No, this is a big buzz.
So. Yeah, well, it is now because we've actually tasted the food.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and I think it's good for the city. I feel like probably about 4 or 5 years ago, all of these restaurants opened in this big climax, and then it all kind of tapered off. And, you know, the people who couldn't make it didn't make it. You know, so I think it's time for a little bit of like a rebirth almost.
There you go.
How much credit would you give the Verizon Wireless Arena for kind of speeding up the process of good restaurants?
Oh, I think a lot. Mm-hmm. I think a lot.
You know, I agree.
I remember like the first Elton John show or the first Cher show.
I was there for the Elton John show. Were you there for that one?
Oh, yeah. I was at Baldwin's on Elm when it happened.
Okay.
That was like our first real concert night, and we didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the strangest thing because you literally fill up at 5,
yeah,
empty at 7.
and done.
And it was just like, about done. You know, we had never seen anything like it. And then you hear, okay, you know, Cher is coming or Elton John's coming next. And all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, God, like, what do we do? And it was, you know, those nights were great, like the Boston Pops.
Yes, at Christmas.
Every Christmas, you're going to fill your restaurant and – you know, and then it empties, and it's the weirdest thing, especially on a Saturday to have at 7 o'clock have an empty restaurant. Like,
here's the sad thing about Elm Street is that nobody will walk past Bridge. Now, granted, there's not the selection that you have between Granite and Bridge, but there are a few decent restaurants, and there could definitely be more. Why won't people do that? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. It seems like Elm Street dies at Bridge.
Yes,
it dies at the Verizon.
You know, and like.
I haven't been to it, but there's an Italian restaurant all the way down
yes,
at the end.
Yes, Mangia.
And I heard it's supposed to be phenomenal.
Yeah, they say it's excellent. I haven't been either.
And make reservations shame on me. And bring your own bottle. It's got to be doing good.
You know, and that had been a roll of the dice to say, I'm going to open up way down there.
It's true. Mm.
So
that is true. And he's been there a little while.
Yep.
You know, so yeah. So I mentioned the wine room. So let's chat a little bit about that at the Foundry. Listeners, we're talking with Matt Preventure, executive chef at the new Foundry that'll be opening up sometime next week. Like them on their Facebook page, and it's very easy to find. Just Google Foundry on Facebook, and you'll find it. I already liked it, and it's 50 Commercial Street, the old Jillian. So, the wine room, beautiful. Wait till you see it.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
So the
wood. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
It's all wooden wine racks. I forget how many bottles can fit in there. It's like
there's a lot.
Yeah, I want to say it's upwards of, you know, 1,000, maybe a little bit more. All wood, and then right at the end of it, there's a 6-top table.
So you can reserve in there.
You know, you can sit in there. It's got, you know, beautiful lights above it, and, you know, it's like a heavy wooden, like that farmer table.
Beautiful, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Now, is that like that's a room obviously you're going to make special reservation for.
Yeah.
Does you, the chef, come out and talk to them, and is it like that kind of a...
You know, I can. You know, I have no problem coming out and talking to guests. You know, that's one of the things when I spent so long at Richard's Bistro, that was one thing that Richard always stressed to me was, you know, go talk to
and
people.
And it is. It's important. People very like important. To
and
like
you could
to
do
see...
that. I mean, that was a small place.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
But a great... So will you be totally hands-on cooking?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So hands-on cooking, you know, I'm a firm believer. I love to be in the middle of it. So, you know, and it's teaching the cooks how to do it and, you know, working with my sous chef, showing him how to do this. And then, you know, we kind of can go from there.
So you really have the chef at Bedford Village Inn kind of to thank for the fact that your path took this direction versus, you know, baking, which is
actually,
double.
I'm sorry. He has the salad boy that called in sick to thank.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay. Yes. Do we know who that is? He's running a Waffle House in Tallahassee, just so you know.
Yeah, that was almost 20 years ago. Wow.
Wow.
Holy cow.
So.
He's still on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Wow. But the light fixtures are beautiful. I mean, as you walk in, the hostess stand,
mm-hmm.
it's like on a pulley, you know? I mean,
really?
It's just so really very, very nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of reclaimed, you know, cast iron fixtures and... You know, repurposed different, like there's one of them over some of the booths, the lights actually come down and it looks like they're hanging off of two pulleys. And they were actually part of some mill. And then this company redid it, repulleyed them, did all of that, and then wired the lights for them.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are restaurant architects. Did you employ somebody that...
This is big time.
Yeah.
Sounds like
essentially, that's, I mean, it's huge money, of course, and you better be damn happy with it when it's done. And I assume that...
Well, they almost guarantee that.
Yeah.
Because a comment I heard from one person, I mentioned that, well, I hope it isn't just that old mill feeling with the, you know. I said, I don't think so. The money I understand he's putting in this thing isn't just going to be a regular, typical mill.
No, but it still keeps to the heart of the mill.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it should somewhat. But yeah. The woodwork you just said in the wine room and all that, that takes it away a little bit. You were explaining something I'd see in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's kind of that feel. It's got the modern, a little bit of a modern feel, but it's still
modern industrial.
Modern
it's my
industrial
style.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of the wood was reclaimed from old mills.
Oh, my God.
Gorgeous.
Fantastic.
You would never, you can't picture Jillian's ever being there.
Yeah,
really.
Right. So, what are you doing every Wednesday at 1?
Yeah. We need to get our weekly update.
Yeah, no kidding. Fantastic.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're busy, and good luck, and I'm so proud of you. I think this is so wonderful for you, and you're back to Manchester. And all right, listeners, Dad, thanks for coming down.
Nope.
Mike, Kale and Company up next. And Mike, we'll see everybody tomorrow. I'm on vacation.
You're on a little vacation. Go to the foundry next week, folks.
Oh, don't worry. Yes. Bye, everybody.